Well, good morning again. It's good to see you all. Good to be with you. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to follow along for a little while. I'm going to begin the book of James. James, and we'll start in the first chapter there in just a few moments. Good to see you. Good to be with you again, have this opportunity. I know it's under difficult circumstances. It's one that's kind of trying many times, leaves people apprehensive about what we're trying to accomplish and how we go about doing it. But I think we all recognize that. It's amazing to me how we can be so interconnected today with cell phones and emails and everything in the world and still have so much difficulty trying to contact many others. I've been trying to contact some for a few days and finally got them. And so it's interesting. Of course, I do it myself. I'll come in and my phone will be blinking. It's my daughter, and I'll call her, and she said, "Where have you been?" I said, "Well, I've been out mowing the yard." and if you don't answer an email or a text in 45 seconds, there's something terribly wrong. But that happens. I recognize that we are trying to keep more in touch with people and watch for people But then also try to remember days like this. This is Mother's Day, so we're glad for that. We appreciate all the mothers and the grandmothers and those who have been mothers to so many people. The influence of mom, of mother on her children is incalculable. It is generational, and we know that. We hope you're told how much you're loved and honored and respected today. And remember mom. James, the first chapter, it's a fascinating book, the book of James. I've said before that James is one of those down-to-earth books that really gets inside of our head with how we look at life and how we think of life as a Christian. Probably the opposite of it would be in the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes, which is talking about just living a life here on this earth without a thought of God, without a thought of righteousness or holiness or the will of God, and how vain, how useless that life is, how it doesn't accomplish anything, especially when we know that our life is but a vapor that appears for a little while. But when we come to the New Testament, we learn the truths and the hope of the salvation through our Lord, and we began to study the things that the inspired people have written for us. And some of them are difficult in different ways. The book of Revelation is difficult. You're reading a series of pictures, and you got to get the picture in mind before you can get the application of what's happening, and that can be tough. Sometimes passages are difficult, not because it's a picture, but simply because of the arguments being made. The Apostle Paul over in Romans, the fourth chapter, likes to talk about the imputation of righteousness and get into an argument from almost a legal standpoint of how it is we stand before God. And that can be, for Paul, kind of almost convoluted many times. But then sometimes it can be tough because it gets right in here behind our eyeballs, right in our head, about how we think about me living my life. And specifically, how I live my life as a Christian, as a child of God, and what my thoughts should be. And it's not that I don't understand what he's trying to say. I understand what he's exactly getting at. And I might not understand exactly the picture of the seven-headed dragon with crowns and thorns and all the things that's scary over in Revelation, the 12th chapter. But I know what he's getting at here. The book of James is written, as I've said many times, right to brethren, children of God. James, the first chapter, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. My brethren. Chapter 2, verse 1, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ in a certain way. Chapter 3, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers. Chapter 4, he talks about, again, the idea of brethren, verse 11, the fourth chapter. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother judges him. Chapter 5, verse 10. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering. I mean, you can't miss who he's talking to. But he's talking about things here that really, it's not like just maybe attending a place and assembling with a group of people and worshiping the Lord, which is so important. But it's talking about why we're doing it and what's going on in our heart and mind. And the first thing he starts off with is this idea, as brethren, of what we're thinking about with regard to trials. Look with me back to the first chapter of James, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Wow. What did he say? My brethren, count it all what? Joy when your faith is tested. I recognize we're going to be tested in so many ways. Life is a test. But that idea of being joyful, that's the difficult thing. And so many times people often think of going through difficulties and trials in life as something that's happening separate and apart from God's will. Whatever difficulty I may be facing, that's not God's will at all. And God's will for me really is to have a joyful life. But James here starts off with the idea of telling us that trials in life are a part of God's will. Boy, that is the difficult part. And that God uses them. And the pressures that we experience from these various trials actually produces in us something God desires of us. And that's an amazing thought. And through being thankful and trustful in our service to God, we're able to overcome those trials. Let me make a couple of comments just with this introduction here. When you read verse 2 again, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Number one, believers, brothers, will have trials. He didn't say, if you fall into trials and temptations, he said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Difficulties. Trials are a part of life. And I mean, you can tell that to a young person, that's just the way it's going to be. If you're going to run your own business, or if you want to get to be a doctor, or I don't know, a lot of other things, it's going to be difficult and demanding, and it's going to take years. But the same thing with being a servant of the Lord. And Jesus taught that plainly. John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. And here's that thought again. But be of good cheer. I have done what? I've overcome the world. Like that combination of, in this world you will have tribulation, but I've overcome the world. But you're going to have tribulation. And be of good cheer. That's what Jesus said in John 16, 33. Paul said in Romans, the 8th chapter, that if we are children of God, then we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. That makes it demanding. That's why James's letter is difficult. Peter tells us, 1 Peter 4, verse 12, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try, as though some strange thing happened to you. this truth, when we're told this is what it's going to be like, and I'm left wondering exactly what must have been the situation that caused James to write this to a group of brethren. To start off with, brethren, count it joyful when you fall into various trials. This truth he's trying to get across to them prepares them for all types of difficulties and trials to come. The Son of God came into the world, the Creator of the world, our Savior. And said, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by what? The things which he suffered. And you and I are not going to be any different. That's the point he's trying to get us to see. And further, just think of all the great people of faith, Old and New Testament, that you can think of. I mean, truly, the great people that you study for years, Job, Abraham, Joseph, Ruth, Daniel, Moses, Peter, John, Paul, David. And they all had difficulties. They all had difficult times. As a matter of fact, they probably became great examples of faith because they went through all of their trials and tribulations and hardships. And some of them, just in their actions, some of them in the things they wrote, like David. But God was with them, and he was sovereign in all of their lives. Even though the times they didn't understand what was happening, kind of like when God told Abraham, which I can't imagine, told Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering. If you've ever seen a burnt offering, that's pretty frightening. And of course, you recall Isaac would say, Father, where is the lamb? And you recall the answer. Abraham just immediately said, God will do what? God will provide. Again, which is where we get our word providence. I don't know how the ram or had his horns all hung up in the bushes. That's something God works out. But God was there. And I think about that in the lives of every one of these people. Joseph, Abraham, Job, or Daniel, or Moses, or David, or every one of them. How did they do the things they did? How did they bear up under the tremendous pressure they were facing? By God telling us this is what's going to happen, he has actually given us a gracious thought. It's coming. And every one of us will have trials in different ways because we're not all the same. We don't all think the same way. We don't all have the same personality. What might be a trial to you may not be a trial to me. What may be a trial to me and a difficulty to me may not be a problem for you. I mean, isn't that what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10? When he was talking about the trials that we face. Look with me over there. 1 Corinthians 10. And we have the same wording that is used here as over in James. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation or trial. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be what? Able to bear it. If you think about, if you kind of put those two together, 1 Corinthians 10, 13 and James 1, we begin to see that really, our trials of faith are just that, making our faith grow, making us like the people of ancient times that we've read about all of our lives, like Abraham and Isaiah and these people. And when we understand this and we face difficulties and trials, if we know this is what the Bible has revealed to us, if we know this is plainly what James says, we don't have to go into shock when life gets very, very difficult for us. And we start thinking a bunch of foolish thoughts, or maybe asking a bunch of foolish questions. Just simply, the Lord will provide. May not understand how it's happening or why, but the Lord is with us. He is sovereign. Come back with me to James. James, the first chapter again. We read there, we read verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Number one, believers will experience trials. Number two, believers will grow from trials. That's what he says there in verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces, it brings about something in our life. Bearing up under it is the thing that describes the life of faith. The trials, the difficulties, the hardships. I've heard Tom Landry one time say that you learn more in a loss than you do in a win. I never did fully understand and comprehend that, but I could think I could see the point that he was trying to make. When we go through trials and difficulties, when we have hardships, it makes us stop. And number one, it makes us re-examine our life. What am I doing? Which way am I going? Have I done something wrong? What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5? He said, examine yourselves whether you be were in the faith. Stop for a moment. Think about it. Where are you? What are you trying to do? And these trials, these difficulties also teach us there is a way to keep going. We can re-examine some things and we can learn how to keep going, and we learn that the true value of things we have in our life is what has brought us through and kept us going, like our faith in the Lord. But that simply is the point that James is talking about. And when we read it, it's written in such plain English, or it's translated for us in such plain English. We can't miss the point that the difficulties and trials of life that we go through for the child of God, for the Christian, produces something beneficial and profitable spiritually in our life. The word testing there means to prove something worthy of value, which is a fascinating thought. And we wouldn't want to think that, but we can see that in life and in many other places. The idea of training for years at something, or studying for years, or maybe preparing for a particular business venture or something of that nature, when we talk about what is demanded of us, let us remember that our faith is truly precious. Look with me over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the first chapter. Peter even uses some of the same concepts, some of the same words. 1 Peter, the first chapter. He's writing to, he says, the pilgrims of the dispersion, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, up in the what we'd call northern Turkey, up by the Black Sea. He's writing to them about the resurrection of Christ and the salvation that they have. Let's see, like verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Same words, I believe. Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That the genuineness of your faith is that which will demonstrate praise and glory and honor in the presence of the Lord. We're going to sing an invitation song in just a moment. When we walk with the Lord, those beautiful words, and see what he tells us. Page 326, he said, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we walk with the Lord, what does God do? He sheds a glory upon us that the world can't understand. Where do you think the real glory of this world is? Do you think it's Hollywood movie stars and all their glory? Or all of the tremendously wealthy billionaires of the world? Or the powerful people in Washington, D.C., or Beijing, or Moscow? No, it's not what Peter would say. He would say that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me suggest to you number three right quick. Number one, we will go through trials. I mean, we just got to prepare ourselves for it because that's what James is saying. And number two, all believers grow from trials. But number three, what we're looking at, look with me back in James again. James, the first chapter. We'll read verse 4. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. He says, the testing of your faith will produce patience. And then he says, patience will give to you that which describes you as being perfect and complete. And perfect and complete in the service of the Lord. Results in the greatest joy that he's talking about. And when he starts off in verse 2, when he says, count it all joy, he's not talking about maybe the joys of the world. The greatest joy is being like the Lord. The Lord came into this world and he was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. He was Emmanuel. He created the world. He spoke the worlds into existence. And then when he came into this world, think of what he went through and how. You remember I quoted for you, let's see, 2 Corinthians 13, a few moments ago in verse 5. It makes the statement there, examine yourselves. Look at the previous verse, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. What faith, what weakness did Jesus have? For though he was crucified in weakness, what weakness was that? Well, he came into the world of mankind. He had a physical body, which meant he was going to do what? He was going to die. That's the weakness. That's what James talks about, that we're just a vapor or a mist that appears for a little while. But he was made alive by the power of God. And he says, this is what I want you to think about. Are you associating yourself with the Lord? And that's what the next question, verse 5, examine yourselves. Will you be in the faith? Believers will overcome trials and become more like the Lord himself. Faithful saints go through trials. It doesn't mean it's easy, but they go through trials and it's for our good, our growth, and God's glory. And I've been talking about the last few weeks on our study on Facebook. I've been doing a series of studies on Jesus is the answer, and I kind of started off with Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 28, where it says, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. Look with me over there at that. And that is the invitation that he's talking about when he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest to your souls. Go back and read 1 Peter again. He talks about the salvation of your souls. And when we stand with the Lord, or when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, we enjoy a glory, a honor, a holiness of our life that associates us with the Lord. Why He says in Luke 21, verse 19, He says, in your patience possess ye your soul. That's the patience of the faith of the Lord. I hope the study's been helpful for you. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. I want you to be able to take a 2,000-year-old letter and apply it to your life today. That when James 2,000 years ago was writing about our faith and us facing trials and difficulties, let's take what James is trying to get them to see and make it a part of our life, and make sure it's a part of our life. And as we talk about the things of God, we recognize our faith in the Lord will not be thwarted. It will not be in vain. We will continue to serve the Lord. And let's be blessed by that. And let's see the opportunities to grow even in our trials. If you're here and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, you need to do so. If you have the faith of Christ and you need to confess the Lord Jesus and be baptized into Christ, we can assist you this morning. If you're a child of God, maybe you haven't lived like you should, or maybe you've kind of wandered back into the world, or maybe you've begun to wander back into the world in your thoughts. Let's do a check and do some thoughts and some thinking of our own. What did the Bible teach us to do? How did it want us to think? And if you desire the prayers of the brethren, we'd be more than happy to approach God's throne on your behalf. If your subject to heaven's called you, please come from standing and sing.